All right. Amen. That's wonderful. All right. How many folks here for the first time this morning would like to see your hand? There you go. Here we go. That's wonderful. That's good. I've been here for the last time. Just don't, you know, the heck with it. There's two back there. All right. We weren't too thrilled about you either. Oh, me. That's good. We have some visitors today. We have some Marines who are wounded in Vietnam here on your behalf and my behalf, and we can be here because of what they did. If you guys will stand up, and where are you? Where are you? Where are you? There they are. All right. There you go. All right. We thank you for your service to your country. That's, we can be here because of what you did. We have two here who were over there. They were wounded in the backside. We never did understand that. Said, were you running? Said, no, we were surrounded. I said, yeah, sure you were. All right. Now, Brenda McManus, this little friend Michael and his family are here. That's the ones that we all helped to donate to get them down here and have fun. Michael has some health problems, and he's here. Where's Michael? There he is. There he is. All right. Yeah. And we're glad to have him and his family. Is Teresa Bethay here? Is Teresa here today? She graduated from high school. We didn't get a chance to give her a present. If you know her, tell her we have a little gift for her. And next time she's here, we'll give it to her. Say what? Anybody needs a fan? Larry's got some fans. The white ones are $5. The red ones. All right. Here we go. Now, Murph took the Walmart gift to the children's shelter. She buys a Walmart card with some of the money we give to Pennies from Heaven, because if you give it to the social services downtown, it filters through the bureaucracy and she gets 20%, you know, what she's supposed to get. So we just buy a Walmart card, and they can go out there and get whatever they want. And the lady was very excited. They were down to very little food, cleaning supplies, and only had a half a gallon of milk, and not sure what to do. And then Murph showed up with a $350 gift card. So that's wonderful. That's good. They were very grateful and said thank you, and we're really helping a good cause. Somebody handed me a good morning. This is God. I'll be handling all your problems today. I will not need your help. So relax and have a good day. I said, isn't that good to have? Isn't that good to have? I'm telling you the truth. All right, we had a good week. Summer started early, 91 degrees. Boy, it gets hot here, doesn't it? If you brought a Bible, turn to the book of Philippians, and we will read from there, as well as Ephesians and a couple other places this morning. We're so glad you came, took time out of your summer vacation, some of you to be here. You could be other places. We're so glad you're here. And keep coming. Tell people about us, whether you like us or not. And send them down and let them see what we do here. And we've had more than one person come and say, I had to go to a bar to find Jesus. They say that like that's an amazing thing. They didn't accuse him of being a wine bibber and a glutton because he wasn't at a bar. That's why they did it. He mingled among the people and told his story to them. That's what's wrong with the church in America as a whole. We get behind those brick walls, and that's the end of it. And I will promise you, the devil does not care. You can get in there and shout and jump, roll on the floor, and do anything you want to. He cares when you get out here. That's what he doesn't like. And so we'll make him mad. I got a big brother. I don't care. Yeah. All right, if we can pray, and then we will attempt to expound the Word of God. A gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Christ Jesus. He died for our sins and paid the price that we should have paid. We'll never forget that. We thank you for the folks who have come out this morning, those who are listening by means of radio, those who get a CD, and this is their church when they get their CD and listen to it. We thank you for our fellows who are behind prison bars and they can't get out, but they can have you in, and we appreciate that too. As always, remove me from this place, if you would, that you be heard. That anything that I say that should be forgotten, please make it be, and all that should remember, please have it be. That above all, you be glorified, the church edified, and the man nearest hell be saved. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. We thank you for taking your chairs out when we finish. If you'll just fold your chair, and if you see an empty one, do that, get it too. Take them and put them out in the truck. We have to hurry out so this business can get underway. They're so kind to let us be here. We don't want to abuse the privilege. So thank you for doing that, and looking forward to several of you picking up a chair who don't know what they weigh. You'll be surprised they aren't heavy. And we just tease you a lot. If you turn to Philippians chapter 3, and Philippians is a small book in the Bible, and it's directed to the church at Philippi. Philippi was a small city on one of the main roads to Rome. And as a matter of fact, it was so much like Rome, they called it Little Rome. And Paul has been there before, and he's there now, and he has just given a dissertation on his personal rejoicing, his rejecting of self-righteousness, letting people it wasn't him. And he talks about himself being a Hebrew of the Hebrews. If that would get you anywhere, he would have just stayed there. But he says in verse 7 of chapter 3, "But what things were gained to me, and those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of which is God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." And those words there is what we will preach about this morning, that I may know him and know the power of his resurrection. We talk about resurrection, and especially around Easter time, and we skip over things like the power of his resurrection and just go on. And you must understand, and you will for this day's out, that the power of the resurrection, the breathing back into the life of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was dead and in the grave, that breath of life that raised him up is the greatest power that has ever been exhibited by Almighty God. Once you understand that power and what it was and what it is, and know that as a Christian, through the Spirit of God living within you, that same power is within you, and that same power will raise you up as it raised him up. I promise you, it makes for a good day, and it makes for a good life, and it makes for a good eternity. And I hope you will get as excited as me and the cat did putting this together, because we were jumping all around and just having a good time. And I said, they'll have to have the second serving of this sermon, because me and the cat got the first one. And it was on about 4 this morning. And the word power itself means exousia in the Greek, and it is the greatest power, it's the greatest authority. When God speaks of power, you have to think of that. And I was studying about powers I had seen and things that we call power. We have political power. Man tries to be king, or tries to be a congressman, or tries to be a president and all, and that's power. And I was amazed the other day, and saw it again last night at the Billy Graham dedication of his place there. And here were three ex-presidents of the United States. And these men at their time of service were known as the most powerful human being in the world. Please understand, we kind of take it for granted because we always have had a president. But the president of the United States of America is the most powerful man in the world, and everybody recognizes that. But here were three ex-presidents, and I don't know who else could have gotten them together. They were different political parties and different spectrum of thought and lifestyle. And I don't know who could have gotten them together but Billy Graham. But here he is, and there's three presidents going to speak, but nobody came to hear them. They came to hear an evangelist preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I said, whoa, we're in the right business. In the right business. And in the end, nobody cares about the power of man. In the end, nobody cares about the power of bombs. Nobody cares about political power. Nobody cares about financial power and king of the stock market and all the other thing. In the end, it's how do you stand with the all-powerful one. That's the only thing that matters. And I was watching, going through the slideshow, as Ann calls it. Women don't understand. Y'all, you know, 3 o'clock, your program comes on. You tiptoe in there, cut it on, watch the program, cut it off, and leave. Ain't no way to watch television. You are paying for 50 stations. You need to see something on every one of them. And that's the way we watch TV. I do anyway. And Ann calls it the slideshow. And I was watching the slideshow, and they showed Niagara Falls. And the man showed it from the distance and then up close. Then he got right on the edge on the Canadian side. And I said, I have stood where he's standing. More than one time. My grandmother lived in Toronto, and my dad was from there, and we'd go up there many times, stop by Niagara Falls in winter, summer, spring, and fall. And I've stood, right? I said, I know where he's standing. You can almost reach down and touch the water. It's right below you there. And you see the power of Niagara Falls going across that thing and hear the roar of it. And when you drive up to it, Rainbow Bridge headed that way, you will see the mist a mile or two before you even get to the falls. It's causing such a fury. And then you see that river below it where all that's come down in its mighty river power, and it looks like a large serpent. It's not rapids, it's just moving, and you can see the strength of that thing. And I said, boy, that's power. That's power. Somebody in Toronto saw it years ago, and they said, whoa, wait a minute, let's divert a little of this power down through a canal, and we'll run it through the generators and make electricity that lights up the entire Niagara Valley. And that's just a tiny part of Niagara's power. And I said, isn't that something? But it's nothing compared to the power of the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. And I said, well, now, what's on channel 82 there? And here's the space shuttle going up. And I don't know who lights those things, but he got to get out there quick. That power, the power that comes out of those things, it rumbles the ground. It rumbles the ground, and you can see it, and those billows of smoke that go out, and then that shuttle gently lifts off. I mean, it looks like it can almost barely, and here we go. And all of a sudden, they're telling me it's doing 2,000 miles an hour, gone into outer space. And I said, the power there is almost unbelievable, isn't it, to see that? And I just sat in awe of that. And then I know about the powers of nuclear warfare, and we just know a little bit about that. We dropped a couple of atomic bombs on the Honda plant there in the Second World War, but that was nothing. Did you know it takes an atomic bomb to set a nuclear bomb off? I mean, we're talking about power. And I remember in the service, they showed a nuclear, this was years ago, Civil War and everything, and they showed us an island. And they had put various things for the scientists to look at after they dropped the bomb to gauge the radiation and all the things that they do. And they dropped the bomb and went back to test it, and nothing was there. It was just a blue hole in the ocean. And that was just a small one. Now they got some that are so powerful, it's unbelievable. And what they got that we don't know is worse than that. And I said, it's a lot of power stored up. And you'll be glad to know there's enough nuclear bombs in the world today for you to participate in 20 tons of explosive power of TNT. Every man living can have a share if you like. Please take mine. Feel free. Power. Unlimited power. Nothing can compare to the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nothing can. The greatest power ever exhibited. And I said, what about the earthquakes? And I read some about earthquakes in the past, and there's some big ones been coming. And there's going to be more coming. The Bible tells us of earthquakes that are going to turn the whole topography of the earth upside down. That power is coming. These little old things we have are just little cracks in the ground. Nothing. Absolutely nothing that power is. It topples buildings. We know something about the power of hurricanes here, don't we? Get all excited when a number three is coming in, and that's pretty powerful. And one day we sat here and watched a number five go up, and then it turned around and came back. Wouldn't leave us alone. And then it went again. Had that number five hurricane come in here, would have looked like New Orleans. But that is nothing. They've scaled some of the planets by their instruments and found that 200-mile winds are steadily blowing. And we, a 200-mile wind we have here, level everything. Oh, the great power of that. Nothing in relation to the power of life given by God to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. Nothing. And I said, well, can we not get close? I said, I know. How about the flood? The worldwide flood. The movement of that water. And I see the little floods on the news channel and saw one last night. Water couldn't have been a foot deep. Just moved a van out of the road and took it away like it was a toy car. And I said, well, what about the big flood, the big one? Don't you know that had to be something? And I started to read a book, but until I found out who wrote it, it was an idiot, bless his heart, scientist. He says the flood did happen, but it rose so gradually, even a leaf on a tree wasn't stirred. And I said, you moron, don't you know that there's sand in the bottom of the Mississippi River from Egypt? The only place it is in Egypt. In the bottom of the Mississippi River? Don't you know they've found rocks? The only place they're found is in Scotland. Big, huge rocks. No man could move. Don't you know anything about the power of that water? Listen, when God says, I'm bringing judgment, it's not a teapot. He's bringing judgment. When he said the whole earth, he meant the whole earth. There was no steering wheel on the ark, by the way. So wonder why. There wasn't anywhere to go. He covered it all with water. What do you need with a steering wheel? Just float. Be part of it. And I can see Noah and the family. I mean, can you imagine that scene? Lost in the middle of those horrendous waves, and the whole world is flooded, and this power is everywhere, and you're wondering, oh man, staying there, at least I'd have drowned. But here, what's going to happen? All God said about it, it says, and God remembered Noah. That's all that was needed. You see, the power of God's remembrance is greater than the flood. I don't need to see him. I don't need to hear from him as some folks seem to do on a regular basis. I don't need anything but the promises he gave me in that book that his power would protect me. And if I die, I'm immediately with him by his power. And later I will have the same resurrection power in me that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I too, and you, if you know him, will rise from the dead. And I said, amen. Talk about power. Show me some power. Boy, I like that. And then I said, wait a minute. We got more power coming. What? The creation of the universe. The scientists have backed themselves into a corner, and God bless them. We can't live without the scientists and the things they create and all that. I'm not stupid. And? I I know we can't live without that, but now they have backed themselves into a corner with the big bang that everything was the size of a cube of sugar at one time. Everything had to be conformed to that, and then this tremendous explosion took place. They call it the big bang. No, it wasn't. Back up to nothing, and that's as far as the scientists can go. We go beyond nothing. We go to He who sat outside of nothing and created everything. Say, well, who did that? The Bible said Jesus Christ did. All things were made by Him and for Him. Understand the power. The power of God and the power of Jesus and the resurrection power. That's what Paul was looking for. And the power says in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? And that word there means megathon, megathos. Megathon is the word we use to register the power of a nuclear bomb explosion. I saw a guy with the worst job in the world the other day. Absolute worst job in the world. And he crawls into gator holes in the under the bank with a light on his head and a stick with a meter on it, and gets the crocodile to bite down on the meter to register the power, how much tonnage he's got when he comes down. Why would you care? I mean, because if he gets you, average man don't matter. The average guy don't know if he's been bit by 5 or 3 tons per square inch. You just know that you've gone. Anything, reach up and grab a buffalo and bring him home for lunch, I don't want no part of. And this guy is in there with him. And they said, what do you see? And he said, just mud. Wait a minute. The mud's looking back when I'm opening his eyes. And he said, wait a minute. There's 6 of them in here. And he said, just a minute, we have movement. Boom. He was being quiet and cool. So just a minute, we have movement. Shoot, he was out of there. I don't blame him. And he did the same thing with a hippopotamus, trying to find out the strength, the power. No, no, that's the worst job in the world. You want power, read this book. Which he wrought in Christ, his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now look at the power. And set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. God's power raised Jesus up through the stellar stars that we see and put him at his own right hand, which is a term we use. There's no right hand of God. That is an anthropomorphic term. The anthropomorphic, as you already know, means describing human features to God. It's the only way we can understand Him. God doesn't have arms and legs and eyes and nose. We ascribe that to Him, that the eyes of God run to and fro upon the earth. It's the only thing that we can understand, you see. Only way they can describe Him to us. In fact, that's one of the reasons He sent Jesus, is where we could see Him. Jesus is the exact image of God, the Bible teaches me. You were made in the image of God too. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Really hard to believe when I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and eyes all red, hair going everywhere, looking for my teeth, trying to find my bifocals. Here I am, and cut the light on, and you know how you squint, and look in the mirror and say, well, there he is, made in the image of God. I said, whoa, God ain't doing good this morning, if that's true. But you know what we mean when we say with that. We're made in His image, and we are His children if we know Him, and His power will raise us up and set us in heavenly places. My friend Jerry Falwell, who's already there, he'd given his invitation. He'd always say, and if you are as sure for heaven as if you were already there, let me see your hand. and then he'd separate the lost from the found and talk to the lost, you see. But you have to understand, through the power of the resurrection of Christ, through the defeat of death, through what he did, and through him raising him and putting him in that position, you being in him are already in heaven with him right now in the eyes of God. So I don't understand that. You're not God. You have to understand that. And we are already there in God's eyes. Does that not make a happy morning for anybody? Especially when you got troubles in your home or in your family or in your business or in your children or in something. If you don't have any troubles, I need to meet you afterwards. I'll give you some of mine. We got plenty. We'll share. And you lying anyhow. Everybody in here has got problems, see? But we got somebody who can solve them. You remember the song that said, if I didn't have any problems, I wouldn't know he could solve them. I have come to the point in my life where I said, I know, don't get them off of me. I don't need any more proof. My God, and you have too. The psychiatrists say, Ann told me, the psychiatrists say that if you put a circle of people around, and like they do in the group therapy, Ann told me that if they ask, let's have your problems, and she says, and let's have yours, Tommy, and let's have yours, Sam, and let's have yours, and let's have yours, and that when they get through, you're so glad of your problems that you're saying, boy, I'm glad I came today. These people way worse off than I am. I'm doing pretty good. I didn't know. I'm going to call them something. I'm going to get in touch with them. You see, we all get self-centered, don't we? Have you ever noticed in the movies and on the TVs and in real life, when a group is chasing one man, it's all right, let us get him, right? Let us catch him. When he draws that gun and turns and shoots at 200 people with 6 bullets, everybody says what? He's shooting at me. Wait a minute. It just went from 200 to you. Where was the change there? When you had a problem, the change came, didn't it? See? And we all gonna have problems. But we had a Savior who had a big problem. They just crucified him, nailed him to a cross, beat him half to death, made sure he was dead, wrapped him in 100 pounds of linen, and then they buried him. I'd say that's a bad problem. Bad day at Black Rock. But the day only lasted a little while. And his father said, time to get up. And the resurrection power brought him out of that to the point it left the linen there. Came through it. How'd he do that? Don't know. Well, who moved the stone for him to get out? From the inside, somebody moved it? Don't think so. Went through it. Came to the upper room where the people who had decided what to do now that their hero was dead, and they were crying and shaking, and so they locked the door and hiding, and somebody came through the door. Resurrection power, boys. Good evening. Resurrection power. And the Bible says, I will be like him. When I see him, I will be like him. We get out in NASCAR circle, and dumbest NASCAR man in the world driving the other day took a right. You can't do that. It's left. And we watch that going on and think that's power, don't we? And they get up and go Earnhardt and all other things. And that's good, and that's good entertainment, and that's fine. No power. Angels who come here to work for us come billions of miles instantly. Stoop, they're here. What the Bible says, what happens when you die? Absent from the body. Present with the Lord, nothing in between. Stoop. Left here and there. Remember when my father went home, he was a violinist, and he would play hymns. He'd play his, a recording machine with hymns on it, and he would play along with them. And that he really enjoyed doing that, because when he held revivals, just part of the singing would be part of him playing a couple of hymns with his violin. I can hear it now. And he was evidently playing that because they found him. He'd had a heart attack, and the machine was still going. And he was on the floor with his violin and his bow, which I have in my bedroom. And my brother said, "Isn't that something?" when he found out about it. I said, "What, Bill?" He said he was playing a hymn. Then he was with him. I said, "Go ahead. Go ahead. Short sermon. Go ahead. Playing a hymn, H-Y-M-N. And then was with him, H-I-M. What a glorious thing to contemplate. We don't contemplate it because we get a little scared when we get to thinking like that, that somebody will think we're crazy. I hope they do, because if I'm like them, I am crazy. I'd rather be like me and crazy about the Lord and crazy about where I'm going and crazy about the assurance of my salvation and crazy about knowing he rose from the dead. Jack debates with a local moron who writes for our local paper, and he thinks he's a Christian, and Jack sends him questions. He's not. He's gone. And he assured us the other day that no, he did not believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ. Said, well, yes, then you get to go to hell. It's just that same. I'm tired of being nice. I'm politically incorrect by choice. I mean to be. I want to get all mine in before they make it a law that you can't tell the truth. And by the way, that bill's in Congress. There's a couple of states where preachers have already been locked up for just reading the book of Romans out loud and getting into the homosexual area and different areas of that. Already been locked up. Somebody asked me, what you going to do when they pass that law? I'm going to say turn to chapter 2. Read quietly with me. Start at verse 1. Read to yourself, and I will too. Fine. Now that you know that, we'll talk about it. Here we go. Oh, me. Mm-mm. We were disliked when we came. It's no surprise that you don't like us now, folks. We know. You stand for Jesus, you're looking for trouble. If you think becoming a Christian ends your problems, you're wrong. Just starts them. Some of your best friends will turn on you. Guarantee it. Some of your family will turn on you because you turn to Jesus. And I'll get people to say, so-and-so is sick and they're dying and they're lost and I'm upset and it's my sister or brother or whoever. And I say, look, it's the hardest thing in the world to do, but take your emotion out of it. Every man shall stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and account for his life, nobody else's. Your responsibility is just to tell and let the chips fall where they may. I don't blame you for crying. Fortunately, every member of my family growing up and now are born again, blood washed, sons of the living God. I don't have to worry about that. And what a blessing it is not to worry about that. Somebody said years ago, said, well, why are you going to be a preacher? I said, my best friends are going to hell. And I'd like to do something about it. And one of them's here today. He's not going anymore. In fact, he'll attack you with a Bible and unload on you. See, the other one's in California, and he had to get in jail for 10 years before he got the message straightened out that we tried to give him for 40 years. And now he's going. Held a funeral for one right here who was just didn't know what to do, and the other friend I'm talking about today and I went up and saw him in a hotel right over there before he died with cancer, and he's already there. See, and you don't know what joy it is when friends you have and family you have, and you know that you know that you know that you know resurrection power dwells within them in the form of the Holy Spirit of God, and they too will be there What a day. I'm telling you the truth. Isn't that wonderful? And I was looking at the three presidents and Billy Graham as they stood there and had made their speeches. And I looked and said, I know one that'll be there. I'm not sure about any of the other three. But I know one of those men I will see again. One of those men will be where I'm going. And he won't look white-headed, and he won't be looking old, and at the new 88, he won't even take notice. He won't even take notice. Imagine that. And of the three who stood there with him, I said, three presidents of the United States, what power in one place. What power they had over the media and over the nations, and what power they had. But guess whose name is known better around the world than all three of them combined? Is that man of God who stood there. And God bless Franklin, coming up right behind him. And Franklin is going to tell you the gospel of Jesus Christ powerfully and eloquently and personally wherever he is and whoever he's talking to. Boy, I love him for that. He don't back up an inch. Doesn't matter where he is, it's coming out. You see, when that power is within you, it'll burst out somewhere. You can't contain it. If you know the Lord and love the Lord and no resurrection power is in you somewhere forever and you're going to spend eternity with him, it'll burst out somewhere. It'll come out your mouth. It'll come out your eyes sometime in water form. Now, the power that exalted Christ above all creatures is number 21 in verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And I hear folks say, well, the head of our church is Bishop so-and-so. Is he? You in the wrong church. Well, our church, and we know the head of the church, is Pope so-and-so. Is he? Then you in the wrong church. The head of the body of Christ is the Lord Jesus Christ, unapproachable. No one can even get close to his headship and lordship. And who's the body? Me and you. That I may be a little toe, but I'm in there somewhere. I'm in the body of Christ. That's why we aren't a church. There's no such thing as a church. There's a building on the corner up here. You're welcome to go. There's one over there called First Baptist. Presbyterians down here, Methodists over here. They're everywhere calling themselves a church. And a church anywhere except wherever somebody's born again, son of the living God. That's what a church is. You see? So this isn't our church. This is where church comes to Sunday morning. You church. Church isn't here. We get here. It's cement that we get here. And there's people who worship the church building, by the way. Well, I just don't feel like anywhere else when I'm at the church. Well, let me help your feelings. You can feel a lot better if you'll become the church. Amen. Become the church. I am the church. How do you know there's a Jesus? I'm part of his body. How's that? Boy, this morning I was so glad. Ann said, come in and look at this, honey. And I ran in there. And on the computer, that machine that people do that stuff to, she did it. And there it was. And two Mormons on bicycles had pedaled up to a big black guy, about 30 pounds heavier than me. This dude was big. He was on the street. Just out there. Well, they thought they'd found somebody they could get to, see. And they pedaled up and said, he said, what are y'all doing? He said, we're going around talking about Jesus Christ. He said, well, that's good. I'll talk about him with you. And boy, he started. Let me give you this. He said, what's that? said, the Book of Mormon. He said, what I need with that? I don't do that. I have a Bible. And my Bible says that if anybody comes to you with another message other than is in my Bible, don't let them in the house and don't let them, don't wish them Godspeed when they're gone. What would I need with that? What is that? And he starts in on them. The old boy was a Christian. The old boy was a good Christian and a Bible-believing Christian. And he unloaded on them two kids, and they said, well, we got to go. He said, no. You come rolling up here on your bicycle, wanting to talk to me about Jesus? We're going to talk about Jesus. You weren't in a hurry a while ago. You had plenty of time to talk a while ago. You wanted to talk for a long time a while ago. All of a sudden, you found a man who knows the Scripture, and you get in a hurry. There's something wrong with that. The easiest way to run all those cults off is not to argue, is to start talking about Jesus. Talk about the blood. Talk about the power of his resurrection. Talk about his coming again. Talk about you know him personally, and then get into some personal questions. Do you know him, and how do you know him? Tell me. Boy, they'll get out there in a hurry because they don't know. No cult believes in hell. Guess why? That's where they're going. Exactly right. We'll get excited in a minute. Watch out. And hath put all things under his feet. Yes, he has. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Listen now. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Do you understand the same power that raised Jesus from the dead cast your sins away? How can I be lost after I've been saved when the Lord Jesus Christ cast my sins into the deepest sea, never to be seen again, the book says? How can I lose that salvation when the book says nothing can separate me from the love of God? And in about two short paragraphs, names everything that is, was, and ever shall be. It's Romans, I think, 8:35 in that area. Read the whole book, you need to anyway. No, when God does a thing, he does it completely. When God saves, he saves. When he resurrects somebody, they're resurrected, not for an hour. This ain't Paris Hilton's going back Tuesday. When he gets you out, you stay out forevermore. Good news, great news, wonderful news. The power of the living God. Isn't that something? I mean, you just want to jump and shout. And listen, we're about to go in a couple of minutes. The power that you're going to see to come is going to be quick, and you're not going to see it. What about the rapture power? When that same God is going to call all the saints who have ever died, those who are alive and those who are in the ground, for their bodies to rise and meet him in the air. What kind of power is that? To call forth not one man who died, not 500 who went home when Jesus was raised to tell their people what death was all about and to visit with them again and to die again. Not that group. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about when he raises every saint of God, Old Testament and New, with the sound of the trumpet and says, come up here! And in the twinkling of an eye, shoot, we're gone. And people without a brain say, you don't really believe that, do you? Yes. Don't worry about my brain. I'll stagger any scientist who comes in here real quick. A jellyfish swims, eats, mates, knows where it's going. You can find them out here by the thousands, and not one of them has a brain. It's just one of those things God said, look at this. Mm-hmm. Love it when he does that. Say, well, I don't believe in the resurrection and the bodily resurrection. You ever seen a butterfly? Seen a butterfly, hadn't you? He used to be a worm. He crawled a caterpillar. He crawls along, gets up there by a leaf, spins him a cocoon, little casket. He's in it, and he dies. And he turns to mush. If you cut one open, he's turned to mush, soup, mush. Leave him there a few weeks, and he'll wiggle around and come out the end of that thing. And he's alive again. And he's got wings. And he'll dry off, and there he goes. Do I have to draw you a picture that resurrection's real? Have you never seen a butterfly? Do you think God isn't going to point that out to people when they stand before him? But I did this and I did that. And he's going to say, come in, butterfly, come in. About 2,000 of y'all fly over here. And lead him to the elevator. How plain can it be? He came, he died, he arose, and he's coming again. What more do you need to know? The power of God, the power of this book. And I said, thank you, Jesus. And when we sing that, and I never knew till I started studying this and started to preach this sermon and got it all ready last night and knew about where I was going, I said, you know, I never knew why my daddy used all hail the power of Jesus' name every time he was on the radio. I didn't know that till last night. I said, I know now. Thank you, Dad. Thank you. I know now, for that same power that was in him is now in me, and I too shall rise from the dead and be present with the Lord. What a God. What a Savior. What power. And if you don't know him today, won't you tap into the power line? Won't you plug in this morning? Learn a little bit what we're talking about. Feel what it's like to know for sure you can never die. What a feeling. Know for sure that the God Almighty who created all of this in the blink of an eye loves you. What a bit of power knowledge. So if you're here this morning without a Savior, don't leave without one. Bow your head where you are and say, Lord God, I'm a sinner and I know it. No use to bring the list. We both know what's on it. But I'm coming for forgiveness. And through the power of the resurrection and the power of the blood, forgive my sins, please, and make me a child of yours forever. And if you've never done that, you quietly do that where you sit as we sing and we praise.